Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. And it's great to have you with us for today's visit to the Pastor's Study. How can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing? Well, so began the lyrics of that 1967 song first recorded by the Young Rascals. The question still haunts us, and haunts us even more half a century later, as the world is not only constantly changing, but changing at lightning-fast speed all the time. Medical doctors, historians, sociologists, mental health professionals, social commentators, representatives of virtually every other specialized discipline, are expressing deep concerns that the rate of change is speeding up so fast that we are inviting severe problems in every aspect of our lives, our thinking, our emotions, our planning, our sense of security, the physical, metabolic, and neurological functioning of our bodies, let alone the assaults that rapid change bring to a soul that needs rest and stability. 3 years after the Young Rascals lyrically raised the haunting question about change, futurist writer Alvin Toffler developed the concern more fully in his 1970 classic work, Future Shock. Accurately predicting the effects of technology, especially computers and rapid digital communication, Toffler warned of the dangers of, quote, too much change in too short a period of time, end quote. And this would bring, Toffler really described so perfectly, as he put it, shattering stress and disorientation. We would become future shocked. The burden of constantly adapting to changing situations would bring feelings of helplessness, despair, depression, uncertainty, insecurity, anxiety, and burnout, along with overall social confusion, and an inability to make thoughtful decisions. The changeless would be overwhelmed by torrents of rapid change. And now, particularly on the verge of a new year, Christians both feel and fear the future shock that has become present shock. Our entire pace of life, especially here in the metropolitan New York area, is constantly speeding up. We're always in fast forward. And while technology has in many ways made our lives easier, in other ways it's made life more complicated. Each week we have upgrades to the software and apps whose wonders we've already had little time to master. Computers crash. Email accounts get hacked. We live in fear of security breaches and the time that it takes to correct them. Are we really saving time? And when you look at the big picture, are we really better off than we were before the computer revolution that began in the 1980s? And with all surrounding sound and pictures and comments and statistics and what we simply call information, Toffler's prediction that careful personal and social decision-making processes would be undermined and dislodged has become reality. Views of gender, of sexuality, of right and wrong, of good and evil, of the beautiful and the ugly, are like moving objects on the rapidly whirling merry-go-round that life has become. And we all reach points, and more often than we want to admit, when we echo the title of the old Broadway musical, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. Now, what I want to suggest to you, in fact, what I want to declare to you, is that this need of the human soul and body to hold to the changeless in a rapidly changing world is an absolutely tremendous opportunity for Christians and for the Christian church. We are the people of the changeless God. I, the Lord, do not change, said the Lord himself through the prophet Malachi, in a passage meant to encourage God's people who had seen and would continue to see many changes in their lives and in their culture. And while we experience rapid changes all around us, we know that all are part of the perfect will of God. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations, says the psalmist in Psalms 33. See, Silicon Valley is not sovereign. God is. And God's word remains changelessly true, regardless of how rapidly changing our world is. Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in all generations, it says in Psalm 119, verse 89. And in that verse, there's the addition of the comforting truth that God's faithfulness endures to all generations. We're told that no generation, including our own, will be without the witness and the power of God's unchanging truth. His truth endures to all generations, says Psalm 100 and verse 5. And Jesus Christ, as the truth incarnate, will get glory in the church throughout all generations forever and ever, declares the Apostle Paul in that triumphant end of the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we have this promise: the risen and reigning Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is with us always, even to the end of the age. And how thankful we ought to be that this is part of the Great Commission given to the church. But, and here's the big question, how do we hold the changeless, God Himself and His truth, in such a rapidly changing world? And add to that, how can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing? Well, that's what we're going to be wrestling with. At least we'll begin to wrestle with it on today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. And because we're all in this together, I want you to join in the visit by calling us with your questions, your comments, your practical suggestions, your thoughts. How do you hold to the changeless in a rapidly changing world? And how does God intend for us to use this real challenge, and it is a real challenge, as a real opportunity to show others the comforts of the kingdom of the changeless God? Now, to visit with us, because this is A Visit to the Pastor's Study, call 631-955-5400. That's 631-955-5400. But before we get to your calls, let's have our weekly discussion among pastors. My guest again today is Pastor Drew Einigenberg, pastor of the West Sayville Reformed Bible Church in West Sayville, Long Island, New York. Pastor Drew, thanks for once again visiting the Pastor's Study. You're raising four children in a world that's constantly changing. We've been through it with our six. Tell us what you're doing with this younger generation.
Well, again, Bill, it's good to be here with you. You know, as far as, you ask, what do you do in your home? I think that one of the issues that affects our homes is a simple one, you know, simple but difficult at the same time, and it's a matter of contentment. You know, to model and to teach Christian contentment to your children is the task when the world is swirling with every kind of option and every kind of opening. And I think that a lot of parents are parenting with a lack of contentment and with a lot of sort of fear and anxiety about missing out. You know, we're missing out on everything that the world has to offer for our kids. And by trying to give them everything, we kind of give them all, you know, we give them a thin veneer of everything, but we can't give them any depth. And so just like, you know, we say, I have the opportunity now to communicate with a million people through social media, but only for a second apiece. You know, the same with our kids. If we take every opportunity and don't prioritize, we'll be swept away like we're worried about here. Everyone is being swept away by such rapid change. So godliness with contentment is great gain, yeah. Right? Godliness with contentment. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 6. And so I suppose what I mean by contentment when it comes to your family, it has to do with the idea that we don't say to ourselves, oh, no, the world is going to pass us by. When we slow down, to reflect with our families, to worship with our families, to take the opportunities that are most fitting and to lump the rest for God's glory, to say, I can't do it all, so I have to choose wisely, with discernment, what's best, you know, in a world of infinite options.
So how do you teach your children contentment in a culture that is driven by marketing, which is the science of getting you convinced that you need to buy or acquire, however you do it, something you never knew you needed? How do you teach contentment?
You know, comically, because of the way that choice has changed, you can stream whatever program at whatever time and whatever way you want. I laugh sometimes because there's actually an advantage in our day when it comes to advertising. You know, my children don't really even know what commercial breaks are. Like, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, if I want to see my show, I got to watch all these commercials. And my kids actually are more insulated from advertising in some ways than I was. But,
Now, how is that? That's because you make use of the Netflix thing or movies or what?
They'll stream a show on something on Netflix or some other thing. And a lot of times they can pick and choose, you know, and stop and go as they see fit. And they really are. I mean, I feel like I was exposed to 10 times the advertising that they are. Now, they're young. I mean, the oldest is 10. There's a little bit of limiting of media, but we're certainly by no means, you know, cold turkey, throw out the TV types. But I love the idea of coming on a show and talking about changing times, because there's a lot of hopelessness out there about it and anxiety and fear. But there's also, you know, advantages. And I know that you have in mind to talk about some of those advantages.
Yeah, well,
let's
jump to that right now. I mean, I mentioned before, in a real sense, that this is a tremendous time of opportunity for Christians in our culture. Whether Christian, non-Christian, we are not made for constant, rapid change. It's interesting that none of the people that I referred to in here is even a Christian. So in the realm, if you want, of common grace, for example, people realize this need. So given this challenge in our culture, how is this an opportunity for pastors, for parents with children, for Christians in general?
Well, there's great opportunity and great challenges. One of the opportunities that I was thinking of when it comes to family is opportunity, one, to simply be hopeful people where there's so much anxiety and pessimism, and modeling for your children a hopeful attitude, a positive attitude, even towards change, and hopefully modeling how to adapt to changing times for them in a hopeful way, which is, you know, sort of that important trifecta for Christians: faith, hope, and love. And it's not to be overlooked that hopefulness for the future and hopefulness for your children, instead of sort of saying, oh, you're inheriting a broken world, worse than I ever had, and it's only getting worse for your. So I don't think that's helpful for Christian children. Even if we see a certain amount of, you know, degradation in communication and degradation in family and degradation in so many ways, to model that hopefulness and start with your own tongue. I think another...
Give some examples. No. Give some examples of how you do this with your children, because that's so important. We all get in a pity party in which we invite ourselves constantly. How do you get over that so you look to the future with hope?
Well, I think that, you know, Christians have always been urged and pushed, you know, according to the scriptures, in so many ways to live sacrificial lives. You know, you asked earlier about material things. You know, one is sacrificial giving, to model service and sacrifice of time. You know, everyone's strapped for time, and you can show your kids that my time is not all for me time. My time is for serving. You know, so I'll, you know, one example of this, you know, we'll have our children go and play the piano at an old folks' home but then also, you know, to stop and talk to the people and just give them your time and give them your attention and offer yourself to others. You have to change those opportunities as your children mature. You know, you can't throw them into just any situation. But I think another that we're wrestling with as a family is we've recently, my wife and I have been trained for foster care. And there's a real opportunity there to show your kids, you know, we're going to be family to those without family, fathers to the fatherless, mothers to motherless, but also brothers and sisters to those without. And that's something also that has to be done, you know, where a family envelops a person who is experiencing a lot of loss and change in their life. I mean, who is more an example of change than the foster child who's lost their parents, their home, their, you know, a lot of their security? And that's another thing that we've wrestled with recently as we've done that training and are preparing to open our home in that way.
Yeah, of course, you've mentioned things that we often don't think of as changeless, but they're fundamentally fundamental things that are changeless. Love, giving yourself to the good of someone else in a culture that it revolves around self. Dealing with one another as brothers and sisters is something it formed in us because we're made in the image of a Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And so we think in this filial way, and there's something excellent. Yeah, and I think that I don't want to miss the most fundamental thing, I guess, is we're dealing with the changeless God, the importance of reading the Word of God and of learning of the God who doesn't change and is always faithful and is always gracious and is always kind. Yeah, that's kind of the umbilical cord, I guess it is. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a bit more about helping not just your own children. You're a pastor. How do you help congregation members hold to the changeless in a rapidly changing world?
Well, again, there's a lot of sort of pushback in our time about the Sabbath day and about the idea that we need to be bodily present, praising and worshiping God regularly, systematically, or consistently. And I can't stress enough to parents, to church members of every age, that no matter how much we think we're standing on solid ground, if we don't build a consistent life of worship, you know, take heed lest you fall, the Bible says. And in this case, you know, I'm spiritually solid, but I just don't have time for this, into a pattern that can erode even the most solid foundation. So showing that to your kids that, I don't know what's going on in life, 10,000 things, but Sunday is not, it's not up for grabs. It's not up for replacement. It's not up for sale. It's not up for anything. It's a day of rest, a day of worship. And so practically speaking, the spiritual blessings of the Sabbath day are an inoculation for the believer like nothing else, a practical one. And when we talk about giving ourselves to others, we need to start in the house of God and in the family of God. You know, we're going to go give ourselves to everyone out in the world to serve them. But then we're eroding ourselves at the foundation if we don't build a strong family life in the context of God's family, the church. And so I can't stress enough how consistency there regarding the Sabbath and worship for children is vital so that they have an anchor, which is ultimately the anchor in Jesus, right? Like it says in Hebrews, hope is the anchor for the soul, and that hope is anchored in Jesus. But practically speaking, in what way are you going to prove that unless your family life is anchored into a real church with real people, and you give of yourself in the context
with,
of that
with a
community.
Real view of the Lord's day. Mm-hmm. And let me clarify, because not all of our listeners come from our Reformed Calvinistic tradition, but our conviction is that all of the Ten Commandments are part of what we call the moral law. One of them is the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. We realize we don't live in the Old Testament anymore. In the New Testament, all the indications are that the Lord's people gathered together on the first day of the week. Essentially, we celebrate Easter every Sunday. But the principle of one day of rest in seven is crucial to our understanding. And it's interesting how even people not from our Reformed tradition are recognizing this. One of the books that I was not particularly impressed with because of the theology of it, but because of the application, the book 24:6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life by Matthew Sleeth, who was a medical doctor. Tyndale House Publishers, 2012. And Sleeth has a lot of things about this. He says, today we live in one of the most prosperous eras of human history, and yet many of us never get beyond survival mode. See, rapidly changing. And unrelenting work can keep us from asking life's big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What does all this mean? And I love his metaphor. Jumping off the hamster wheel once a week allows us to think about who we are, why we exist, and why we were made. And, of course, those answers are changeless truths as well. So the Lord's Day. Telephone number to call. We'd love to have your calls. 631-955-5400. Your thoughts on holding to the changeless in a rapidly changing culture. We'll be back after this message.
That great city, New York, the largest city in the United States. The population of its metropolitan area now totals nearly 20 million people, one of the largest population centers in the world. And Greater New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach metropolitan New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Greater New York are America's richest and most neglected ones. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is furthering the ministry for which it was started in 1998. Now, through Reformation Metro New York, the Presbytery is extending its ministry nationally and internationally through A Visit to the Pastor's Study and other projects designed to further the ongoing biblical reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. We ask you to remember, too, that Greater New York is one of the most expensive areas in the United States. We need the help of others in our labors. We need your prayers, but we also need your financial support. Your donations to Reformation Metro New York enable us to broadcast our Visits to the Pastor's Study and also to promote historic Reformation teaching and church planting in our area. Your gifts are fully tax-deductible. We welcome your gifts to Reformation Metro New York, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. That's Reformation Metro New York, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. For more information, check out our website at www.reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach metropolitan New York is to reach the world.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you with my guest, Pastor Drew Einigenberg of the West Sayville Reformed Bible Church, part of the United Reformed Churches of North America. Today we're dealing with the topic, and it's obvious that we are only going to scratch the surface, holding to the changeless in a rapidly changing world. Our phone number for your calls, and we usually take the calls after the middle of the program, along about 12:33, 12:34, but you can call now. And you'll be put on hold by our very competent board director here, Rick. 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Holding to the changeless in a rapidly changing culture, that's going to begin in your home, as Pastor Drew has emphasized. Pastor Drew, talk about, we tend to use the phrase, it's a good one, sacred family times in which we help our children and those who are visiting with us to lay hold of the changeless.
Well, as it relates to, you know, my own family and my own experience, you know, my family life and time and structure when I was younger focused on, you know, dinner time. That was the time when we could all be bodily present to read together and to discuss together and pray together. And that's a very precious thing, you know, and my parents were faithful about that. You know, and it wasn't always incredibly you know, incredibly deep and so on, but it was consistent, and that's a critical thing.
Yeah, here again, it was changeless.
Yeah.
Unless it was an emergency of some sort.
Well, so there it is. Like there it is, a sort of a popping up of things that are changeless that can really have an effect over time. So consistency sometimes trumps almost anything else when it comes to these things. But I would say, you know, one of the things that I think is very helpful for yourself, for your spouse, for your children is to try to express in your own words what did you hear? You know, what did we read in the scripture? What did we just listen to, and try to say it back to each other? And sometimes you'd be surprised what comes out of your own mouth or out of the mouths of your own children. For the children, what they comprehend that you maybe think they wouldn't be thinking about, you know, to listen to them and ask for their questions and find out that they are thinking things that, you know, we might not imagine that they're thinking at the ages that they are. And that's been such a great blessing as a parent, and it lets you know this is important in a way that maybe, you know, we're quick to underestimate the things they'll come back with. I have found in ministry, and so I've tried to apply this in my family, that many people do not know how to pray. Many adults will tell me that. I don't pray and I don't know how to pray. And so, you know, I take it very seriously to try to model prayer for my children and then practice them in prayer. And you start to, again, just praise God as their prayers start to take on a life of their own if you give them that opportunity. And they'll say some things in ways that you never thought also, and that just is a tremendous blessing.
Now just that's a microcosm here, Pastor Drew. On the one hand, you have what is changeless. We're meant to pray. We're meant to commune with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's a changeless thing. And yet at the same time, the way we express ourselves, the things that we pray for, your young people opening up about some of the challenges their peers are facing, that then brings the changeless into contact with a rapidly changing world, helps us as adults to learn as well.
Mm-hmm.
So keep going. This is helpful. Yeah.
Well, you know, another critical and important thing, right, is for children especially, which is just astounding, is memorization of the scripture. You know, the Bible is very clear. Hide the word of God in your heart. Search the scriptures and so on. It's true for adults, but with children, you bury the word in their hearts. And I still believe that my ministry sometimes is informed by things I did when I was 7 years old, in terms of my use of the scripture and so on. Things come back to me that I memorized even then and are still a foundation that I stand on. So it's, you know, it's true what the Bible says. You know, you teach a child when they're young, and they don't depart from it when they get older. It's a critical principle. So burying the word of God just directly through memorization in their hearts is a very blessed practice and useful. And we catechize our children, which means we make use of the doctrine of our church to sort of summarize and run them through devotions that go across the range of sort of the Christian experience and the range of important critical things about our salvation, about the coming of Christ, about the church, you know, about so many things, so that we don't get lopsided or flat where we just kind of do the same thing over and over. We're moving them through different principles, talking about them, asking them what they think and challenging them. And we have to keep doing that as they mature. And new opportunities arise, right, as their understanding increases. I would also say that it's critical, because we're talking about family worship, to remember that your marriage needs its own devotional life, so that you and your wife have, you know, time as adults also to interact in a way that you maybe can't do with your children. You know, some of the things that they're not yet going to understand. And so, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, that's a tall order. I can't afford the time it takes to do this. But I promise you that as you go on, you'll start to say, I can't afford not to. I can't afford to miss this, and I love it. And I find that a lot of husbands and wives are not talking about these things. You know, life is busy and they're missing that opportunity.
And it was helpful for my wife and me. And as I mentioned, we raised six. I don't sense in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s things were going as fast as they are now. But one of the things, we used to use the phrase our POA, which was, depending on where we were, either plan of action or plan of attack. And when we were dealing with contemporary issues that the children would come up with, it's how do we deal with these things? And so the spouse the Lord gives us is so important. We're one flesh in this challenge topic. Topic today is holding to the changeless in a rapidly changing culture. Pastor Drew, real quick, just tell us a bit about, I know we're not at the end of the program, but your West Sayville Reformed Bible Church, a great opportunity for people to worship there. Tell us about the church.
Well, the church is on the south shore of Long Island in West Sayville on Rollstone Avenue, and we are meeting every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for worship, and then we spend some time together in fellowship. We have an interactive Sunday school hour, so a chance to share your thoughts. You know, a lot of times I kind of tell people at the beginning of that, take a crack at anything I said. Let's talk about, you know, let's talk about it, not just, you know, sort of declare it and leave it in the cold.
Yeah, again, it's bringing the changeless. You're not afraid to take those changeless things and then deal with the questions people ask. Good.
So then we have our lunch together and then a second worship service, a different service altogether, not a repeat, at 2 p.m. And that's so the general Sunday pattern over these past years.
Address again?
The address is 33 Rollstone Avenue in West Sayville, New York.
You can tell that we're about the church in a visit to the pastor's study. In fact, it's a ministry of a regional group of churches we call a presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York, of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And right all within the range of WLIE, we have churches. We have a congregation of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Hamden, Connecticut, and one in Mount Vernon, New York, one in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and then here on Long Island in Franklin Square and Syosset and Bohemia. Now, if you'd like more information about the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which is our parent body, they have a tremendous website. You don't need to use the www, but I'm so used to giving it, I give it anyway, but it's opc.org. You will not find a church website with more resources for your personal Christian life and help as you wrestle with the kinds of things we're dealing with, doctrinal and practical questions from the Bible. The site, opc.org, O-R-G, is recognized and used worldwide because of its faithfulness to the Word of God. And this broadcast work comes to you from Reformation Metro New York Incorporated. It's a non-for-profit corporation producing not only a visit to the pastor's study, which is what you are hearing now and every Saturday at noon here on WLIE, but we have on the drawing boards Reformation Seminary of the Air, bringing historic Reformed theology to you by way of short interactive lessons from Reformed Confessions of Faith. That project we expect will be in the works by middle of 2017. And then Helps for Pastors, which are short video clips to help pastors in their personal lives, their work of church government, and their work of shepherding. As I said, we're really about the church. So if you'd like more information, Reformation, like the Protestant Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation in 2017. Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, P.O. Box, very easy, 234 Franklin Square, two words, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. And I'd love to talk with you personally about questions you have. You can either email me or you can call me. Email Visit Pastor Bill, all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Or you can call my real study, 516-593-1507. 516-593-1507. You probably get my voicemail, what I call my electronic secretary, but don't hesitate to leave a message. We've been talking about catechisms. We'd be happy to provide you with either a catechism for young children or what we call a shorter catechism. All you've got to do is call 516-593-1507 and give me your address, and we'll get one in the mail to you. Right now, you can reach a visit to the pastor's study by calling 631-955-5400. I think our phone lines are busy today. Topic for today is holding fast to the changeless in a rapidly changing world. My guest pastor is Pastor Drew Einigenberg, and we have our first phone call from John in Queens.
Yes, hi.
Hey, John in Queens.
good to be on the show. Thank you. I've been listening along, but first time I've called in. And I've been provoked and stimulated by the conversation. And I'm a Christian and always concerned with evangelism and speaking to other people, non-Christians. That's what I call NYC to me means not yet Christian. So that's what NYC means, and there's a lot of it in New York City, a lot of not yet Christians. But what I've noticed, and I've written down my thought here for you and my question, and it goes like this. My observation has been that often Christians fear change, while non-Christians embrace change and love it. So to me, the big question is, you know, why should any non-Christian care about a changeless God when Christians who believe in a changeless God often live in constant fear of change?
I'm going to let Pastor Drew give his thoughts on that one.
Well, I suppose when I hear that, you know, I think sometimes when I hear that kind of attitude, it's a bold front, you know, where you know we're putting on a brave face, but we have a lot of struggles and trials and problems and issues. And sort of we plunge forward and kind of say, well, you know, I'll just sort of leave that in the past. But my past has a way of catching up with me. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible, you know, the Bible speaks sort of a word of warning to those who go forward heedless. Right. That you know, even if life is going great and, you know, I'm able to sort of field all the changes of life, will I be sort of young and strong and wealthy and well, and you know, and so on? Will I be all these things forever? And mm-hmm. And so there's sort of a word of warning there that says, you know, watch out, because sort of the time may come where you don't have that bold face anymore. And you know, as a pastor, the issue is we're always meeting persons who say, I felt this way and I lived this way, and then the thing that right. gave me the comfort collapsed. And it's money, or it's the relationship, or it's what, you know, it's something that finally, you know, my armor couldn't resist. You know, I got cancer and, you know, everything was going fine. And then this just hit me in the gut in a way that I just could never have anticipated. And so I'll often point them towards those things and say, you know, should this come your way? Would you feel the same? Yeah. And then how might you answer? You know, just and start to challenge them in that way to say, do you really have comfort that can withstand the big scary C word, cancer? Or do you have comfort? I have a big word, comfort, in Jesus Christ. And right. and do you have a faith that can withstand those things? And if not, where is it anchored?
Yeah. Right.
I think, too, it's interesting. The scriptures, of course, are not unfamiliar with cultures that like change. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Athenians, he said they were people that loved to talk about and be involved in new things. And then, of course, what he did is he went to changeless things. He went to God as the creator, and he went to the resurrection of Christ and the judgment to come. I think the scriptures are not strangers to this, although obviously the way we deal with new things is on a different level. I think, John from Queens, I think on the one hand, Christians are afraid of being conformed to this age. And in a culture that is rapidly changing, where there's good and bad, I think there can be such a fear of that we go the opposite direction and be like the Luddites, who didn't want to have any involvement with the Industrial Revolution and change. And it seems to me one of the ways we can deal with that, I think this is one of the beauties of a generation of churches with representative of generations. My generation, I'm 65 now. And we don't take to the change as easily. Whereas a young people they treat this stuff intuitively. And here, I think the older within the church can help give a perspective to the younger people and perhaps even acquaint them with something that from the past, many things from the past that are good. On the other hand, if you listen to the young people, then they can help you appreciate so many of the good things about change. So I think here again, I think it goes back to our view of the church that is not to be segregated by age groups, but is to be many age groups, one learning from the other. Is that somewhat helpful?
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. Thank you very much.
Very good. John from Queens. Now we have a call from Daniel. Daniel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Pastor Bill and Pastor Drew.
Hey, Daniel. Hey. What's on your mind today?
Good. Really appreciate a lot of your insight, and we've been discussing, especially with the Sabbath and prayer. I'm thinking specifically the role that creeds and confessions, I mean, we mentioned before that you guys are committed to the Reformed faith and the role creeds and confessions play, and how that might be an appeal to those outside of the church. So kind of a two-part question. So the appeal of creeds and confessions in a changing world to those outside the church, but also thinking about the usefulness of creeds and confessions within the church as well. So I recognize it's a really broad question, but I would be curious to get some of your insights on that.
Broad is always fine because we get to pick and choose then what we want to talk about. But anyways, I think it's a great question. When he says creeds and confessions, right, we're talking about sort of the historical expressions of faith. For instance, the Apostles' Creed, which is known in many churches, different catechisms and confessions. Our church holds to the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. You can look those up. We hold to the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort. And these are underlying historical expressions of our faith, sort of in biblical summary, you could say, that act as a sort of historical anchor and reference point, because I've said to many people who have come to our congregation and said, you know, what are the creeds and confessions? I try to tell them, listen, we see them not as some dusty old, you know, document, but we see them as a way to show that we are a Christian church that looks to what others have done and respects that and wants to build on it and not sort of making it up as we go or you know, sort of throwing off the past as useless and progressing and, all you know, improving in a way that disrespects the faith of those who come before us. If it really is a true unchanging God and a historic faith, we want to look backwards and be thankful for what we have in the history of the church, and then we want to be proactive and creative about our appeal to the world in each new generation and sort of challenge that comes our way. And so, you know, not to be morbid about it, but I'll tell people who come into my church, hey, you know, I want you to know that if I get run over by a bus tomorrow, this church is not suddenly going to lose its guru and just go off the deep end and pick up, you know, some ridiculous thing and say, well, now we're going to do this. You know, Pastor Drew is gone and therefore the church just, you know, unhinges. But instead, we will maintain our heritage. We will maintain our changeless faith. We will maintain our commitment to preaching the gospel. And not just in any way, but according to the scriptures and in line with the apostolic, the apostolic message that has been consistent through the centuries, while so many other things have changed. So we see them as an anchor, and we see them as a great benefit and blessing.
Yeah, and Daniel, I think one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that the medium is in itself a message. Today, a medium is very fast. You've got to have a computer that's faster. And it's also got to be not only faster, but also it has to be more efficient, whatever it would be. And the message that's communicated is that the newest and the quickest is the best. That's kind of a subliminal message communicated by our culture. Well, something may be faster and better, and something may be newer and better, but that's not the whole story. The creeds, historic creeds and confessions in themselves, that came over time, that were thought through very carefully and have stood the test of time, they're also a message of something that is changeless and that is true and that is stable. So that's a great point, Daniel. I thought myself in my years of pastoral experience, one of the best ways we can be ministering to our culture today is take even an elementary children's catechism and opening that up for people so they get the very basics of who God is and what man is and what sin is and who Jesus is and what salvation is. I know on foreign mission fields that's become a common practice, and our culture is increasingly becoming foreign mission fields. So, Daniel, a great point. Thanks so much for calling A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Phone number 631-955-5400. We'll be back after this message.
Not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We have churches in Hamden, in southern Connecticut, in Mount Vernon, New York, in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and on Long Island, in Franklin Square, Syosset, and Bohemia. In each of these churches, you can expect biblically faithful worship, biblically faithful ministries, and biblically faithful church life. And that biblical faithfulness will always point you to Jesus Christ and the gospel, what the Bible is all about. For more information on these congregations and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, check out www.opc.org. That's www.opc.org. Here you'll find addresses of Orthodox Presbyterian churches near you. And here you'll also find a treasure of material to help you in your Christian life and to further your knowledge of the Bible as the Word of God. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at wshishko@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's wshishko@gmail.com.
Back on the point about confessions and catechisms, Jude says in that little Bible book we all struggle to find, right before the book of Revelation, Jude speaks of the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. There again, you have something changeless. There's this form of doctrine in the Scriptures. It's in a completed Scripture. And so when we're teaching doctrine faithfully, historic Christian doctrine, that's another really important point of contact with the past. Pastor Drew, we don't have much time left. Some summary thoughts on holding fast to the changeless in a rapidly changing world.
Well, as I think about some of our discussion, you know, what a comfort to Christians when it says in Revelation and, you know, in praise to God and about him, you know, he was and he is to come. And we are, as Christians, we're dealing with this God who will not, you know, sort of get tired, who will not quit, who will not sleep. He cares about us. He cares about his church. And for us who are experiencing so much change and upheaval, that's a point to be believed. And so, you know, the basic gospel message when it says repent and believe, we have to repent of our sort of our frantic, anxious fear of change, fear of things that come our way. One of our callers said, hey, you know, Christians are often perceived as those who just, you know, say no to everything. We shun everything new and we sort of pull in, you know, we're circling our wagons and just holding out. But, you know, I would encourage Christians to be bold and to say there's nothing on this earth that is not under the authority of the God who was and is to come. And particularly I urge fathers in their homes to open their mouths about that again and again. Your families need you to discuss these things. They need to hear your voice. They need to hear you being willing to engage and willing to talk and willing to apply your faith. And doing that more and more, we become people who are ready to talk about anything.
Yeah, of course, there's another example we mentioned before. You've got an older generation that has hopefully been well immersed in the things that are changeless, and they are imparting to our young people even a way to approach change that comes. Doesn't mean we have all the answers, but this is how we look at rapid change, and it is important. Despite what you may have thought of in the monologue, we're not saying that this is the worst culture that's come and we're going to hell in a handbasket kind of a thing. But we do need to reflect on rapid change. You're not going to change. It's going to come. But we need to reflect on that and think it through in light of what are we dealing with, a changeless God whose truth is unchanging, whose truth endures to all generation, a sovereign God. Whose counsel is in back of all things. Those are the kind of our cushions as we deal with these things. Not much time left, Pastor Drew. Tell us one more time about the church you pastor.
The West Saville Reformed Bible Church, 31 Rollstone Avenue, West Saville, New York. We meet 9:30 a.m. for worship on Sundays. We spend a lot of time together that day, including a meal to which anyone would be invited, and then a 2 p.m. second service, different service, and everyone is welcome. The doors are open.
Great. And having been there, it's a great place to be.
It's all right, yeah.
The church. The church represents the Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There we have it once again. So there are biblical ways of dealing with, as we ought to deal with it, with holding fast to the changeless faith, changeless God, and a rapidly changing culture. And one of the reasons why we've developed this on this day is because we realize that most of these themes are things that need to be developed. We've talked about the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. We've talked about we've talked about family life and family traditions and so on. And as the weeks go on, we'll be taking time to develop each of these things. But I do want to remind you that tomorrow is the Lord's Day. That's another thing. It's changeless. Every Sunday is a special celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. I hope that you will take advantage of that. You need to be in a church that is faithful to the Word of God, a church that will focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something we need to develop on another occasion. So a church that really emphasizes what is changeless in the Word of God. Our particular traditions will change, and some of our particular nuances of understanding may change as well. You want a church that focuses on what is truly changeless in the Word of God, the doctrine of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory, the Lord Jesus Christ as the one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the necessity of a holy life as the outworking of the new birth, which is essential. So those things. And if you have questions about what that kind of church is and what it looks like, I'd love to be able to chat with you. As Pastor Drew would, if you'd like to contact me, you can email me at visitpastorbill. It's all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Or you can call me at my non-radio studio study. That's a mouthful. 516-593-1507. I'd love to speak with you and field some of your questions. Pastor Drew, just if you had just one thing to say to somebody who says, Pastor Drew, how do we hold fast to the changeless in a rapidly changing world? What would it be?
I would say that the power to hold steady comes, thankfully, from God, not from me. It comes from His Spirit. It's a gift that He gives to those who ask Him. And that's such a comfort for our whole lives, that He's willing to give that steadiness, that comfort, that assurance in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And as we come to the new year, remember the importance of spending time in the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You will give us a great confidence that You are God, that there is no other, and that You change not. And make us to be a people who cling to You as the changeless God in our rapidly changing world. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.